and he appealed for his release under a writ of habeas corpus. Chief Justice Roger B. Taney heard the case while he was sitting as a circuit judge and ruled that only Congress had the power to suspend the writ of habeas corpus. Lincoln said, "That's very interesting, but I think I have the power to do that." And since Lincoln commanded the army, Lincoln's view won out. Merryman, I'll give you just a couple of details about the Merryman case. Merryman was a lieutenant in a secessionist drill company in Maryland. He was arrested by authority of a general named Cadwallader in late May 1861. Taney issued his opinion a little bit later in May. Shortly after Taney issued his opinion, Merryman was released from military confinement. He'd been held at Fort McHenry, as many of the people arrested in Maryland were. He was transferred to civil authority. An indictment for treason was filed against him in the U.S. Circuit Court in Baltimore, and he was set free on $20,000 bail. That's a huge bail, a huge sum in the mid-19th century, and scheduled to appear in court on November 12, 1861. Well, the case went no further. After a continuance, it was dropped, and that was very common in these kinds of cases. These people would be arrested, they'd be held for a while, and in the end, they would just be released. It was a way to get potential problems off the street, so to speak, and to send a message that pro-Southern, pro-Confederate activity would not be countenanced in the state of Maryland. During the fall of 1861, Maryland had a gubernatorial election. Lincoln thought it was vital that a Unionist be elected governor of Maryland, and so he took extraordinary steps to see that happened. He did things such as arresting 19 members of the Maryland legislature arbitrarily, some literally hauled out of the state house in arrest. Maryland soldiers in the Union Army who were known to be Unionists were given three-day furloughs to go home and vote. And federal troops, this is the most direct and I suspect effective thing that they did, Union troops were sent to the polling places where they discouraged anti-Unionist voters from casting ballots and encouraged Unionist voters to cast their ballots. Well, it should come as no surprise that the Unionist candidate won in Maryland. A man named Augustus Bradford, in fact, he won handily. Lincoln's firm response to secessionist sentiment in Maryland kept the state in the Union. However, many Maryland residents deeply resented some of the measures used to keep Maryland in the Union, and many people in the Confederacy read about what was going on in Maryland and assumed that the state was literally being held in the Union at the point of a bayonet. They didn't understand that most Marylanders were actually loyal to the Union. We'll talk more about the impact of that notion on the Confederate side when we talk about the Antietam campaign. But some Marylanders did feel that they, in effect, were living under military occupation, the ones who were pro-Confederate. The state remained divided in loyalty, sent not quite 40,000 men to the Union Army, 9,000 of them black, and about 20,000 to the Confederate Army. Delaware, our fourth border state, Delaware was never really in doubt. It was overwhelmingly loyal to the Union. There were only about 20,000 black people in Delaware. Only 2,000 of them were slaves. Delaware's commerce was tied to the north, to Pennsylvania rather than the south. Southern sympathizers, a tiny minority in the state. There was really no chance that Delaware was not going to remain loyal to the Union, and in fact, it did. It sent about 11,000 men into the Union Army, 1,000 of them black, and it sent a handful of men to the Confederate Army, perhaps about 1,000. Those are the four official border states. Now let's move to the case of West Virginia, a border state that was created in 1861 from the counties of Western Virginia. Western Virginia didn't have very many slaves. Had strong economic and cultural ties to Pennsylvania and Ohio. You know that spike of West Virginia, what was then Virginia, goes way north, goes almost up to Pittsburgh. Strong ties to Pennsylvania and Ohio, and very little in common with the eastern parts of the state of Virginia.